Welcome to episode number 10 of the Technician Academy podcast, hosted by ASE Master Technician Richard Young. This episode is powered by Extend Performance. In this episode, Richard talks with Renee Sanford, Catalog Manager at Dana Incorporated. In this episode, Renee discusses the changes in the automotive cataloging industry and how online part suppliers are affecting the current distribution channels. She also shares her thoughts about the importance of having access to the most up-to-date catalog information. We hope that you enjoy episode number 10 of the Technician Academy podcast powered by Extend Performance.
Welcome to today's Technician Academy podcast. We're fortunate enough to have Renee Sanford with us today. She is the catalog manager at Dana Incorporated. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you.
And where are you located at, Renee?
I'm in Novi, Michigan.
Novi, Michigan. And you've been in the catalog side of the automotive industry for quite some time. Can you give us a rundown of your background in the aftermarket?
Sure. So the aftermarket, I started in 1999 with Delphi Corporation. So I've been in this aftermarket cataloging position basically for almost 18 years. So, and I've been with some pretty major manufacturers.
Yeah, it's an impressive list. Delphi, Federal Mogul, TRW. And I think you were working with TRW whenever we first met. And I believe that was at Vision about a year ago.
Yes.
So you planning on attending Vision again this year?
Unfortunately, no. I'm not going to get that opportunity.
Okay. So
my colleagues will be going.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, are you ACPN, which is the big cataloging conference, or are you going to be able to attend that out in Kansas?
I will. I wouldn't miss that.
Absolutely. So what brought you to the automotive aftermarket?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, I was in the tobacco industry. I had started out kind of in automotive, but then I had taken some computer classes and got my degree in information systems. And I had an uncle that worked for Delphi, and he wanted me to use those skills. And I had recently lost my position in the tobacco industry, and he brought me in to Delphi. And he never lets me forget that.
So have you enjoyed, in whole, have you enjoyed the automotive aftermarket?
It has really been an increasing learning experience. You know, I started out when we had just the legacy tables for ACES, which was just 14 attributes of a vehicle. And now we have, I think, 55 attributes of a vehicle that we're mapping to. Because I've moved around, I've really experienced lots of different parts of a vehicle and know quite a bit about most of them, more than I ever thought I would know. I worked at Trico, where we did windshield wipers, and you would think it's a very simple component, but there's a lot to a windshield wiper.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and that is very true here, looking at your history here with Delphi. Of course, Delphi has a huge assortment of parts. But then Federal Mogul, looks like you were with Champion Plugs, cataloging those. Then Trico, like you say, windshield wiper blades. And you would think that windshield wiper blade is a windshield wiper blade, but that would be a very incorrect statement. There's a lot of different variations, I'm sure.
Yes, back in the day, they were probably very simple, and they've really gotten very complex.
Yes. And then TRW. TRW has quite a bit of different categories covered, and then now at Dana.
Right.
And the thing about Dana, at Dana, what do you do? I know you're a catalog manager, but are you over both the OE side and the aftermarket, or are they separated, you just doing one or the other?
Yes. So we have OE service and aftermarket, but we also cover light vehicle, commercial vehicle, industrial, and off-highway. So we have on-highway and off-highway components. And those get pretty tricky when you're trying to map them. But using the standards kind of helps guide that. So you kind of helps you understand what people need to know to make a good buying decision.
Right. And you're right. I mean, off highway, I could see where that could be a little bit difficult to possibly map, just because, you know, an inloader or a crane isn't necessarily cataloged like an F-150 pickup or a Ford Mustang. So yeah, that would,
right,
that would add some stress to the position, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Now, is this the first time being in catalog department that you've had to deal with off-highway stuff?
Yes, it's the first time with off-highway. The commercial vehicles, as far as, you know, the heavier duty vehicles, I think we've dabbled in that a bit everywhere that I've been. But really the off-highway, sometimes you don't even understand, you know, it may have the same name as something else, but it's totally different.
Yeah. And of course, you're cataloging drivetrain components, which are a main piece of the application. And getting that correct is not something that's you want to make a mistake on. You know, you got technicians waiting on the component. And if it doesn't arrive as the correct component, then, you know, that's a bad feeling.
Yes. And here we have, we're launching parts as trucks are down. We build them on demand and ship them.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of pretty fast paced where that is concerned.
So they're actually, when a component goes down, whether it be in an inloader or a crane or whatever, then the technician or the repair facility looks at Dana cataloging and places an order, and then Dana builds that component specifically for that application. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. And we get it in our catalog right away and get it in our system so we can actually sell the part.
Wow. So that can be pretty fast paced, because if a component like that goes down in some of these off highway equipment, you know, they're relying on that piece of equipment to make their living. So yeah, I could see where that would be very, very fast paced.
Yeah. And we don't set them up as, you know, when we manufacture them, we're not setting them up in the aftermarket for sale, because there's so many parts.
Mm-hmm.
Take us forever.
Well, I was not aware of that, of being, basically it's a customized component specifically for that application.
Yes. And sometimes we do even, you know, we do the enhanced performance axles and drive shafts.
Okay. Yeah. So being in this industry as long as you have, and you know, being on the manufacturer side and the cataloging side of the aftermarket, what are some of the things, main things you've seen change or change the direction of cataloging for both the positive and negative?
Well, e-commerce is the biggest, most, because cataloging used to be, you know, you would create the data for print. And it would go into a system much differently, or it would go into a template. And now with the demands of e-commerce, you know, people want an image. They want it to spin. They want to be able to experience that part before they make a purchase. So I think e-commerce has made the biggest difference. It's made the biggest difference in the aftermarket, because when I started, we had Aces, and that's all we had. We didn't have Pies. And then with Aces, we had qualifiers, because everyone had note fields that this part fits this, but,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right,
all these exceptions. And then with e-commerce, we've added the Pies, which is the part information exchange, so that we can tell a little bit more about that part. And you can create a web page for that part.
Right. And I think your statement of experience the part is probably the best I've heard it put, what e-commerce has done. The consumer or the purchaser, they want to experience that part. See, I know in dealing with electrical components, they want to see the connector. They want to see how many pins are in the connector. And I'm sure it's very similar to your components, you know, length, width, dimensions, thread dimensions and such as that are all important. And then physically be able to look at the component and see that the mounting is correct and such for their application. Now, you mentioned aces and pies, and having been around in this industry, I've been in here 30 plus years and have done some cataloging for a past employer and kind of familiar with that, but I'm not sure that our listeners really, we've heard those statements, pies and aces, but what are they? What is pies? What is aces? And what do they do for this industry?
Well, aces is all of the application information. So it's how the industry exchanges which vehicle, which part goes on what vehicle, how and why. And especially if you have multiple parts that'll fit that vehicle, you have to explain that if you have air conditioning, you might need this component. If you don't, you need maybe a separate component. But I guess ACES came about because all the receivers of the information were getting information from multiple manufacturers, and it was coming in differently. So ACES has normalized or standardized the way we identify an application, a vehicle. So, I might have a 2000 Ford Taurus, and my favorite's always the Chevy, because you might call it Chevy, I might call it Chevrolet, and someone else might just call it GM.
Right.
So we had to come up with a standardized way to communicate that information. And then from there, the evolution of standardizing the way we describe a part. Now here at Dana, we're struggling with describing our parts because we're taking all the engineering naming conventions that depends on the engineer. Some might call it a kit dash whatever, or my favorite was always spark plug or plug comma spark. And so if we all gave our receivers the same name for the same component, it makes it easier for them to put it on their web page and help the installer or the counter person look that part up. That way they only have to look it up one way.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but ACES was being used even back before e-commerce during print catalog. Is that correct?
That is correct. ACES today, even I can send an ACES file, which is XML, to some of these catalog providers, and they can utilize that information still to do the compression ratios they need to create the print catalog.
Okay, so that's been around for quite some time. Pies, though, is pies, when did it start into the cataloging industry, and what is it?
So pies is how you describe a part. So it's part information exchange. So it's the way we exchange the information about a part. So it would be the part number, the part name, the UPC codes, the fitments, the attributes of a particular component, which we have sent, which is even newer, is the PADB, that's the part attribute database. We've further defined what attributes we'd like to see to help sell that part. That way that's standardized, normalized. So PIES tells you, it also would say, here's your image and this is the front view, this is the side view, or with the 360 spins as well.
Mm-hmm.
So PIES is everything you ever wanted to know about a part.
Okay. So ACES, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but ACES describes the vehicle it's going on. I mean, that's how you decide if this particular part fits this particular application. And then PIES is all the information about that specific part that, like 360 image, would it have dimensions and such as that on it too?
It will have dimensions, yes. It has, it may even contain your pricing information. So everything you need to sell the part and then some more.
Okay. And then you mentioned PADB. What is that?
That is a part attribute database. So the attributes of a part. So is the part, let me think of a part. So I have an ink pen in my hand, and does it have black ink? Does it have red ink? Does it have blue ink? So it would describe everything about it. Does it click? Does it have a cap? Is it, you know, fine okay. point, medium point, those type of attributes of that component.
Okay, so that even drills it down even finer description for the purchaser to be able to understand and make sure that they have the correct part then.
Correct. Yes, I mean, if you have multiple options, you would need those part attributes to figure out if you're getting what you expect. And then, of course, the image to you know, verify. If you have the part on the counter, you could take that image and say, okay, mine has this, does that have it as well?
Right.
And be able to compare the two.
And speaking of images, I think as an installer, as a technician, I think the images of the components is probably one of the things that has been such an advantage for me and for technicians to be confident in. You know, it may not be a part that we change every day, and you know, it may be something unique and kind of pricey that we're having to talk the customer into purchasing, and we want to make sure we get the right part because we've promised that vehicle at a specific time. And images, I think images is one of the things that for me as an installer have really improved the cataloging.
Right. And installation videos would be part of PIES as well.
Okay.
I think we probably haven't seen a lot of them, but a lot of organizations are working on that type of information as well. And PIES is a method to deliver it.
So it standardizes it. It puts it in a understandable format that can be exchanged within the industry without having any confusion or any questions. Specific application has specific ACEs, and then the PIES, depending on the component, they have specific things that has to be inputted into that, and then that data is able to be exchanged within anyone in the industry. Is that, would that be a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay.
Generally, you know, it would go to your retailers and your warehouses.
Well, I know, and it's been quite some time since I was with cataloging, and we really didn't, PIES wasn't a thing then, and I know sometimes our format and the way we presented information about the component didn't always work with their system. So definitely that would improve things, PIES would. So with the introduction of PIES and ACEs and PADB, are we now at a point in the cataloging industry that we have every avenue covered as far as what the information is needed? Or is there more that we need to go forward with?
I'm sure there's always going to be more. You know, when you get something, you're thinking, this is great. Now if we could only have this, this, and this, right? So I don't see... I see more standardization. Right now, the industry is working on the heavier duty commercial vehicles and trying to wrap the standards around that as well. It is slightly different. But it fits into the way we're exchanging data today. So I think it's going to broaden as far as the application information and PIES information will broaden. Who knows, you know, what's next. And then there's also the fear that, you know, all this work we're doing, autonomous vehicles could come in and we don't need it anymore. But it probably won't happen in our lifetime.
I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen in my lifetime. Not to say that there won't be an autonomous vehicle that is used, but as far as replacing it all, not in my lifetime. And, you know, one thing that in your discussion there, commercial vehicles, and my experience with commercial vehicles and off-road vehicles, you always had to have the number off the part. I mean, there was really, when you needed, let's say I needed a ring and pinion gear for a differential. I had to get the tag number off of that component and actually take that to my supplier. Is that in the process of changing through cataloging?
Well, I don't know if it's in the process of changing through cataloging, but we are absolutely supplying that tag number. Because, you know, in North America, our commercial vehicles are, you build them any way you want. You don't necessarily, where Europe kind of has a more of a standardized, you get what we built. In North America, you know, ours are customized. So, until we get rid of that customization, which I don't know if that will ever occur, you know, you need to know what you have so you can service your vehicle.
Right. And having dealt with some commercial truck fleets in the past, you know, I remember an exact situation where I had the trucks looked identical. They were a year apart from each other, had the same engine, but the drivetrain, the rear ends and differentials, which would be in, you know, Dana components, they were not interchangeable. And that led to quite a uproar with that customer, because you know they thought they had two identical trucks. And whenever one actually broke an axle, we had a spare axle for one of them. We went to use that spare axle on the one that broke and it wouldn't work. So you know, it took that to find out, hey, these aren't identical trucks. And I could see where in the commercial fleet and commercial cataloging, that could create a stressful situation.
Right. Absolutely.
So we've kind of talked about it, but as a catalog manager and having been in the catalog industry as long as you have, how important is it that the repair technician and the supplier, whether that be a big box store or a specialized supplier, how important is it for them to be able to get the correct information on the catalog?
Oh, it's extremely important, especially, you know, for their buying decision. Sometimes when we launch a new part, we may not know that it would carry up, or there may be two parts for this particular application. Our information changes quite frequently. Here, pretty much daily, we're launching new parts constantly, changing some of the information that we have. So as far as getting the, you know, most up-to-date data is very important. Although something may not change, you just don't know if something on that changed. And that could be, the determining factor on if you're buying the correct part or not.
Right. And I'm sure with all that change, I mean, you're not the only person there at Dana in the cataloging department. I mean, how many people actually does it take to keep the Dana catalog operating properly?
Well, it takes a lot of people, you know, aside from the catalog department. You know, engineering is constantly reviewing information that we might get back from customers. And our product team is very busy, you know, launching new parts. So it takes the entire organization pretty much to make sure things are correct. I mean, from customer service, the entire team.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said it that way. It does. It takes the entire team to make sure that customer gets that right component. And engineering is a big part of that. And then, you know, like you said, monitoring and looking at what the customer, specific issues that a customer may have had, and some slight tweaks you may have to do to the catalog to make it work properly for a specific application. Now, we talked about e-commerce a little bit, but Dana is looking at e-catalog, an online catalog, and having access as an installer and kind of going away from the commercial, because commercial and off-road is different than the daily consumer that has the F-150 or the Chevy Silverado. Them having access to an online catalog, what kind of unique problems can that create for a cataloging department?
Well, you have to have, you know, the correct stuff always available, because the online catalogs A lot of times, even with images, they may keep all your images instead of overwriting them, especially because we're providing that information to other people. And they're not certain what they should change and what they don't. But as far as the consumer having access to that online catalog, you know, they can make good buying decisions. They can do comparisons, you know, on pricing, on quality. I think it gives them a true advantage to the old, you know, walk into the parts store and, you know, this is what we have.
Right.
You know, the online catalog can direct them to the proper facility to purchase the part that they want.
Now, and I don't know if Dana, but, you know, with e-commerce and online cataloging, the aftermarket is drastically changing. And it's changing fairly rapidly, you know, with the introduction of online aftermarket parts suppliers, where the do-it-yourselfer can actually go online, look at a catalog, do the comparison like you talked about, and then order that part. How do you see that type? I mean, other than, I mean, yes, the customer can look at the catalog for a big box store and be able to go to the counter, the brick and mortar counter, and order that part. But is their ability now to order a part and have it shipped directly to them, is that going to change the cataloging?
I don't really see that changing cataloging much, because, you know, they could order it and pick it up at the big box store as well, or they can order it directly to their home. As long as they have the proper information to make the good buying decision, you know, we supply that to everyone, our e-commerce platforms, our, you know, to the warehouses, to the retailers. So, everyone has their own buying preferences too. Do I trust to have it shipped to my home? If I, you know, then I will do that. If I don't, I want, you know, a retailer to look at it first before I make that purchase, because maybe I want to return it.
Right. And that is, you know, that could be a weakness with online, especially, we're talking about you was at TRW. Well, those components are a little bit different than what you're dealing with now. And these components that Dana supplies, I don't know that would be ever a component that's actually doesn't need to go through a brick and mortar at times, just because of the differences and the many differences. And I could be drastically wrong. If I am, let me know. But that's not something that I don't see me ordering as a technician, as a vehicle owner. I don't see myself ordering a differential for my 2008 Chevy Silverado and ordering it through Amazon. I really see those components, those type of components. I don't know that they would be actually leaving the brick and mortars.
So are you saying those are more do it for me? You know, I'm thinking you've got your off-road guys that, you know, that's what they do. They break parts all the time because of how they're abusing their vehicles. So they might be their do it yourself, and they might, you know, want to order that from Amazon. You know, some of those components are pretty large.
Oh yeah.
So I think I suppose it depends on what kind of do it yourselfer you are versus a do it for me.
Right. And part of that is I'm old school. Like I said, I've been in this, and I've been working on cars for 30 plus years, and I still, you know, on those type of components, I still like to go to the brick and mortar. And if it's not right, you know, they can take care of getting it shipped back and getting the right one.
Right. Absolutely.
And
I don't see that being delivered via drone any day soon either.
No, I don't see that. And that is, I mean, Dana has a lot of, you talked about the off-road guys and being an off-road type guy myself, you know, we like to break stuff. I mean, that's kind of the challenge. We like to try to break stuff and we push the vehicle to its limit. And, you know, Dana has some great upgrade pieces. you know, complete crate axles and differentials. How does that get cataloged? I mean, is that just you provide the same catalog information? Obviously, the ACEs would be the same, but the PI is going to be different between the stock standard version and then the upgrade. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes, and that's certainly why the industry looked at that and said, you know what, we don't just need application information. We need more. We need to provide part information so we can differentiate between this part and that part and tell a little bit more about it instead of writing in one text field, you know, the entire everything about that part, how it's different than the other part. So it's kind of how PIs got introduced. It was how do you tell the rest of the story about that part?
Right. Now, do you do 360 images of the, let's say, the crate axle? Is that something that an installer could look at?
Today, we do not. And we are just getting started introducing our new online catalog. We had an old legacy in-house catalog that was pretty slick, but we're trying to, you know, modernize it and meet the industry standards. Although we have components that are outside of that standard, we are trying to, you know, get as much accomplished as we can. We've got over 200,000 parts. So, you know, we're taking our high runners and we have to start there.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of specific part numbers, I'm sure. So on the service side of the industry, on my side of the industry, I've read articles and written articles about the technician shortage. Do you see that, any problems with a shortage of qualified catalog people on your side of the industry?
Absolutely. You know, I think that it's definitely a niche market. It's not always fun. You know, it's quite challenging. So yeah, there's very limited catalogers in the industry. And maybe it's because it's not up there in, you know, one of those classes that, oh, I want to do this for a living. So it's definitely a niche market.
Yeah.
We definitely
go ahead.
Need more.
Yeah. And you're right. Having sat in a room and mapped components, it can get monotonous, and there's not a lot of glamour to that position. But the other side to that is, I believe it is the most important position within a manufacturer's. If you're not able to catalog the part correctly, you can't sell it.
Right. And just to quote one of my upper management, they said, data is the new currency. You know, you're absolutely right. If you don't have the information correct, you're not going to be able to sell your part.
Yeah.
You can have it set up in your ERP system all day long, but it'll sit on the shelf until you can get it out there and people know that you're making it available and, oh, look, it fits my vehicle and it's exactly what I've been looking for.
And I have seen situations before that a component is manufactured, shipped out to warehouses. It's forecasted how many is going to be sold out of each particular warehouse, and those are shipped to that warehouse, and then they sit on the shelf. And they go through one inventory and they go through a second inventory, and everybody wonders, well, how come these are still on the shelf? It's because it wasn't even cataloged, or it wasn't cataloged correctly. So yeah, I think, and I've got several friends in the catalog that do cataloging and like you do. Their job is extremely important. It's not one of high glamour. It's not the sales glamour. It's not. And I always was amazed that, you know, you take a salesman and they go out and land a big account. But, you know, what good is that if the catalog's not right? So yeah, your position is extremely important. And to say data is the new currency, I wholeheartedly agree with that. So Renee, we've talked for quite some time. I've enjoyed the conversation. You've enlightened me quite a bit on the cataloging industry. Where do you see the future of your industry going?
Well, I'm pretty sure it is going to continue to grow. And the information is going to expand. I think that as technology advances, and I mean, look at all the sensors on vehicles. So the components are expanding. The technology is expanding. I think there's a bright future. There's a lot of those dreams from the Jetsons that can come to life within the aftermarket industry.
Yeah.
In automotive altogether.
I'm not completely against an autonomous car. I could definitely ride in one, and once I got comfortable with it, I could ride in one to my commute to work without any problems. So, being in the aftermarket, automotive aftermarket for quite some time, I always like to ask this question. If you could have any vehicle out there, any vehicle that you've ever seen or heard of in your garage, what would it be?
Well, I think the Tesla is something I'd love to experience. I do have a need for speed, though, so I'm hoping that it might have some horsepower. But I'm fearful that it may not have the weight to keep me on the ground. But that would be what I would want.
You can tell a lot about a person's personality by the type of vehicle that they want to be in. And having met you, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. So with your statements, do you have any hobbies other than automotive related?
Most of my hobbies, it's funny because I think I I did ballet for 30 years. And I would, after my ballet recital, I'd go to the racetrack and race my car. That's probably the only thing I do outside of automotive, because most things are either automotive, motorcycle, I have a need for speed.
Well, I definitely, you caught me off guard with the ballet, but I could see that. I could actually see that. Yes, absolutely. So yeah, like I said, I've enjoyed our conversation. You've educated me on some of the in and outs of cataloging. I want to congratulate you on your position there at Dana. But if you had a room full of college students, and some of them may or may not show interest in the automotive aftermarket, and maybe one or two that's even interested in maybe cataloging, what would be your closing thoughts to them? What would be your advice to them?
Cataloging is a niche field right now, and maybe it won't be in the future, but it's definitely a field you can get in, and there's always going to be a lot of work to do. It's not a lot of glamour, much like a technician. You fix things all day long, and you don't get a lot of praise. But as that money starts funneling in, they see the value in what you do. I would, recommend if you have, any data, and I think that people tend to generally gravitate towards, hey, we can fix this. So, it's one of those fields where you can get in, you can fix things. It's growing. We definitely need more people in that field.
Absolutely. So a bright future.
Yeah.
And
supply and demand.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. There is a bright future for it. And there are personalities out there that, enjoy that cataloging. For me, as a technician at heart, it wasn't necessarily my thing, but I did enjoy the time I had at it. So that's very good advice, Renee.
Yes.
So like I said, I've enjoyed your conversation. I've taken up some of your time here. Hopefully, we'll see each other at an upcoming conference or something, and we can get together and discuss. I appreciate it, and have a great day.
All right, you too. Thank you for having me.
Uh-huh, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Technician Academy podcast brought to you by Extend Performance. Don't forget to visit us online at technician.academy. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Technician.academy, built to educate.